With it. I want to talk tonight a little bit about, last week we had seen a video. How many were here for that video? Okay, so about half of you were here for the video, and it was three unlikely people, a football player, a magician, and a singer, all fairly renowned. In fact, someone was just telling me this week that they had seen the magician in Las Vegas, because he does a lot of work in Las Vegas. The woman in there, she's a famous singer, and then the football player was the rookie of the year on his team, and all of their lives fell apart, and at some point they came to know Jesus Christ. And what a video that was. Now, if you weren't here last week, you missed a very moving video, and you know, I've given the video to people, and I say, man, you really have to look at this because it really is powerful, and it's like the ho-hum look. And I just realized that until you see it, you don't know. Billy Graham put this together, Billy Graham's team put it together, and I'm going to say it's one of the best put-together videos for the subject that I have ever seen. They really do good work. And it is called My Hope America, okay, with Billy Graham, and we're going to involve ourselves as a church in this, and it's available to you who missed it if you look on the internet. Now, in your bulletin, we actually have the, that's one place, and then up here too, I just went to Google and Googled it, and if you put in there, My Hope America defining moments, the first three or four pop up, and it's about 28 minutes long. Some of them are 30, that kind of thing. One of them has an introduction with Billy Graham's son on it, but just click on that and you can watch it. And I guarantee you, if you click on that and watch it, especially tonight while it's fresh in your mind, you will not be disappointed in those 28 minutes. You will not. It's really great. So, I think it's in your bulletin, isn't it? I think she put it in the bulletin, the same thing, so that you can find it, so you could take your bulletin home, just type that into your browser, and they'll come up, okay? Now, on your bulletin flap, do you all have bulletins? Oh, my goodness, okay. They were out there, I think. Yeah, maybe it would be good if we could get them. Also, how many don't have a My Hope America brochure? Okay, then I'm going to have you pass those out, okay? You and Bill, maybe Bill can take half. And there's more out there if we run out, okay? Just raise your hand and he'll give you one, okay? You can do one per family, or if you want to do them individually, that's fine. Okay. And on the brochure, it also has this Billy Graham organization. If you go there, it'll send you over to watch that defining moments. Okay. Now, if you take a look in your bulletin, in the flap, do we have all the bulletins out? Okay. We'll just wait. All right. Now, last week, you understand, because we watched that video, it was a 28-minute video. It pretty much sucked my time as far as a sermon. And so this is kind of the second half of this venture. Look in your bulletin, and on the flap, we have three things that we're going to do as a church. Do you see that in there? It says one, two, and three. The first one is to watch the Billy Graham video. Now, that will not be the video that they're actually going to do when we do this on November 2nd and 3rd. Right now, that's our projected date that we are going to have our Friends Day. And the first one is to watch that Billy Graham video, because I want you to see how professional it is, how touching it is. Because what we're going to be asking you to do is to bring people in on November 2nd and 3rd. I'm going to put out 400 chairs in here, so it's going to be pretty full. And that way you can bring your people. The second thing is to fill out your Matthew list. Now, that's in that little brochure. And here's the brochure, and here's the Matthew list, okay? On the most right-hand side, it has 10 spaces. And what you want to do with that Matthew list is to put down names of people that you don't think know Christ that you can invite. Now, when I say that, it's a little scary, isn't it? Because it's like, okay, but what we want you to do is to pray for this list. Not talk to them, but pray for this list every day. And then come maybe a week or 2 weeks before, then you can approach those people on the list and ask them. And so the really scary thing is they might say no. Oh, well. It isn't that scary, is it? So we can ask them, and we will be giving you paper pieces, ticket type things, so that you have something in your hand you can hand them that has the times and that thing. The third thing is that you will invite those people on the Matthew list to one of the three services, either this service here or the morning and later morning services on Sunday, November 2nd and 3rd. And it will, like I said, it will be a Billy Graham video, but it's actually a different one than you saw, as far as I know. Okay, and then we will afterwards give an invitation for people to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Okay, so here's my question to you. Will you put some names down here and pray? That's all I'm asking right now. I'm not asking you to go over to your neighbors and ask. I'm just asking you to put down names and pray. Would you be willing to do that? Okay, good. All right. Now, for you who did get a brochure, and there actually weren't many, were you able to put some names down? I got mine down. I'm not going to yell out their names because it might hurt the innocent or something like that. But I've got my names down here. I've got 8 of them so far that I'm praying for. I even got some politicians on here. I think I'm going to approach because I did a funeral this week and saw a few of the big wheels in town, and I thought, you know what? I'm going after them. Okay. Yeah. All right. So anyhow, and then on the home, we had talked about the home group type of approach, and that is that you have people over to your home, and it'll be on the networks, and it'll be that same weekend on the networks. And if you want to participate in that, Eddie Cook, and I'm going to try to get him here on a Saturday, he's going to be running some classes on Sunday for sure, so we can have him do some classes. There's a 15-minute video that Billy Graham's team has that explain the whole thing, and they act it out, so it's really hard to not understand the process. Okay, all right. All right, so like I said, we're going to be putting 400 chairs out, which means we can have up to 1,200 people, and then after that, we're going to ask some of our people, your regular comers, to step back if there's not enough room to hold those, because that weekend, we are dedicating to evangelism, dedicating to seeing people come to Christ. Are you with me? Wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be great to fill up all three services and have them hear the love of Jesus Christ? All right. Now, last week, I introduced the fact that not only do we have direct access, and I even talked about it in my prayer, but we have the right to speak to God himself. The right. Man, I love that. Because, you know, a lot of us as Christians going around, we don't have any rights, right? Because when you think you have some rights, they get kind of dashed. But this one is one that God himself says that we have the right to speak to the Father. But an unsaved person also has that same right. They can approach him and they can ask, and God will come into their heart and life and change him. And it comes through a verse in Romans 10:13, as well as Joel 32, as well as Acts 2:21, that says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." As simple as that. So I want to read our verses for today, and I'm going to read verse 17, and then you're going to read verse 18 with me, okay? And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off, the Gentiles, and to those who were near, the Jew, 18. Well, I'm glad you're not singers in a choir. All right, for through him we both have access by one Spirit, and when we say access, the word means the right to speak. And so we have access by one Spirit to the Father. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 4, 2 through 5, if you have your Bible, because I want to make this clear to us today. The people that come through our church doors are looking for something. Something that we actually have and they don't. And I'm not trying to be arrogant about that. We are blessed because that is hope. We have hope. And you know, I looked back at that and I thought about it and I was thinking when I was in California and in the Seattle area, and then I moved to California in the hippie years. My biggest problem was I kept on running out of hope. I put my hope in temporal things, but it would fall apart, and I put my hope in something else, and it would fall apart, and I put my hope in something else, and it would fall apart. And when I came to Christ, I had a permanent hope. How about you? And even though life can be tough, it can be hard, we can have a lot of problems, one thing that we have is that blessed hope of the coming of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, Titus says. And he's coming back, and what a hope that is. Because when all else fails in our life, we have that hope. And, you know, I look at it and I counsel people every week. It is almost without fail that every week they come to me and they've run out of hope. And they have no more hope in their marriage because of the way things are going. They have no hope in their future because they can't see anything of the future. And they have no hope in their job because they were climbing ladders and all that kind of thing on their job and it didn't work. And, you know, in my early years, as I started studying psychology in college, I began to work in psychiatric wards while I was studying. And I found out without fail that in that ward, the people, the patients that were there were without hope. And before I became a Christian, I didn't know what hope to give them because I didn't have hope. And it was all because they had their hope in something earthly, and it failed again and again. But hear me this evening. It's the truth of our Savior Jesus Christ, isn't it? It's the truth of our Savior that everyone in the world needs to know. Because he is our hope, he is our salvation. And many people have attended church at one time or another. They might have become discouraged with church or something in their lives, and they're searching for something real, and maybe even they want to get their families in because their teens are falling apart on them, or they want to get their kids in children's ministry so we'll teach them because they don't know how to teach them. And so they come. And we have typically 6 to 8 to 10 families that come every weekend looking. And I think they're seeking the same thing. Every one of them, they're looking for Christ. They may not know it. Because we all seek Christ. And we love these people coming through their doors. And if you're here tonight and this is your first or second or third time, we are so glad you're here. We want you to stay. Amen, everybody else? Yeah. And by the way, we're having, is it sub meatball? Yeah, all right. Judy and Bill did the cooking. I have a feeling it was mostly Judy. Okay, all right, okay. Yeah. And so we want you to stay, especially if you're a visitor, stay and eat with us, and we're going to have a good time together. But here's the thing, guys, with this. When we personally invite people, they come, and it's much easier because they have a connection in you when you invite them. And they come looking for something in their life, and I think it's for a real relationship with Jesus Christ, and you become their lifeline, their friend, their connection, their reason to fit here. And then we have the pleasure to point them to Jesus Christ, of whom he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." And I'm asking you to bring the hopeless. I'm asking you to bring the troubled. I'm asking you to bring the searching. And we're going to gather on November 2nd and 3rd and show that video and offer a message of salvation for them. And so in this process, you may be listening to me and you might even be saying, "Well, Steve, is this like a gimmick?" No, it's an invitation. Does God support the fact that we share with others about him? Yes, he 100% supports that, right? Remember, if you remember last week, I talked about the ministry of reconciliation, and God has given us the ministry of reconciliation that we can ask people to be reconciled to God. Does God support us working together to make that happen? Yes, 100%. The Bible says that the whole body joined and knit together by what every member, when every member does its part, in Ephesians 4:16 is talking about just this. Does God love what we're doing? Yes, 100%. He loves what we're doing and what we want to do. Listen to Paul as he tells Timothy about God's desire. Okay, and I'm going to read from verse 1, but we'll pick it up on the screen in verse 3. "Therefore, I exhort, first of all, that supplication, prayers, both of those intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires some men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." Okay, good, you're not asleep. All right. "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth." Now let me read Peter, when Peter talks about this in 2 Peter. "The Lord is not slack, he's not slow concerning his promise." What is his promise? He's going to take us home, right? And so it says, "And the Lord is not slow concerning his promise, as some count slowness, but his longsuffering is patient towards us, not willing that any perish, but that all should come to repentance." Listen to Colossians chapter 4, 2 through 4. "Continue earnestly in prayer, be vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains, that I may make it manifest or known as I ought to speak." And that's what we're asking of you. To pray for the opportunity, put these people down on a list and pray for them, that they might be able to be open to the gospel, to hear God's truth, the good news. And then pray for each other. You pray for me and I will pray for you, that you have courage to invite people to hear God's truth through a video and a message afterwards. And we might even ask the question, "Well, wait a minute, why are we doing this?" You might even be saying, I'm afraid to share my faith with individuals. I look at it in this world, in the Christian world, that is slowly slipping away in the church at large that we give the salvation message. I have people come through our doors all the time that say, wow, this is the first time I've heard somebody give a salvation message. I think what's happened is it's gone to a positive thinking message where people feel good about God and themselves, and they don't really hear the salvation message as it should be taught. Here's the evidence. When you think about it, 20 to 30 years ago, almost everyone we met and I met went to church or were guilty because they didn't go. Do you remember those days? Everybody knew that they should be in church, and they were if they weren't, they were embarrassed or apologetic. Say, "Well, I'm sorry, I haven't gone in a long time." And most people attended church, and they were familiar with God and the Bible. Then, basically, they understood the Christian principles. I can even remember when Debbie taught a teens class about 30 years ago, maybe even 40 years ago, and she would ask the teens questions. They would come up with the answers. Then when we came in this church, she took the youth for a little bit and she asked them questions, and they didn't know any of those same questions at all. Over here, she said, well, do you think that there should be, it's okay to have sex before marriage? And they're like, no, the Bible says, no sexual sin, no adultery. Over here, they said, well, if we had the opportunity. Well, the sad thing was, it was from the kids whose dads and moms were leaders. And it shook Debbie and I up. How much is slipped away in the church? I remember even at Denver Rescue Mission, and when I was a kid, my parents would take my dad spoke at a lot of rescue missions, and there wasn't a single alcoholic or drunk or whatever that didn't know they needed Jesus Christ. And that's why they were there. And now you go down to Denver Rescue Mission and they don't want to hear the message. They just want us to get through so they can go get their food. Because they don't necessarily know. But they knew, though, in those days they needed to get saved. Our communities, we look at it, and most all people don't go to church anymore, right? And I'm not saying going to church is the thing. I'm saying having a relationship with Christ is the thing. In our postmodern era, it seems like time has passed, and now we hear people say, when you talk about Christ or you talk about God, they'll tell you, I have no idea. I have no idea what Christianity is about. I heard it maybe when I was a kid, but I have no idea what it takes to have a relationship with God. I don't know how many people say that to me now. They'll come into my study and they'll talk to me and I'll say, well, do you know what it means to be a Christian? I have no idea. I have no idea. And yet they need something, don't they? They don't always know, but they know they need something. Yet, it wasn't all that long ago I got a card in the mail that said, Christianity in America won't survive another decade unless we do something now. I'm sorry, I believe that God's bigger than that. He's not going to fail us. And yet, at the same time, I think it's critical that we are able to tell people about Christ. Eddie Cook on Sunday, and like I said, I'm going to get him, is going to start teaching people how to tell their story. Teach them how to lead somebody to Christ and maybe even have some role play, that kind of thing. Things we did years ago that now seem like they hardly ever happen, so that you are ready to give an answer of the hope that lies within you, like Peter said. Today is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 6:2. I believe that God is working his way around that postcard. And I also believe that we are going to be involved in working around that postcard. Amen? I think we can capitalize on what God wants us to do by joining this My Hope America project, only because it's so clear and it's almost done for us. We just have to invite the people here. And we can obey that call of Him asking us to announce the good news. And that's huge for us. This church has always been based on evangelism, and even that slipped away some. And so I am committed to preach the gospel. I have made this promise before, and I'm giving you this promise again. Every service we have, I'm going to have an opportunity for somebody to come to Christ. You know, when we came into this building, we had a Saturday night deal over here, just for the people who had been involved in the church before we started inviting people. And I thought, okay, everybody from the church is here. I don't need to give a salvation message, right? And so after it was all over, a lady came up and she said, "Oh, I brought my dad with me, and he's not a Christian, and he didn't give the salvation message." I thought, okay, never doing that again. You know, this week I was had the pleasure, and I talked about it, being able to preach at a memorial service. So a lady from the school district's husband passed away, and he was pretty sick, and it was a real struggle. Family was flying in and all that kind of thing. And so I did the service and talked about this gentleman and all of his stories. You know, they're all kind of fun. I like talking with people with the stories. But, you know, what was interesting is pretty much everybody there didn't know Christ. The core few, some of them go to church here, but most of them don't know Christ at all. And I went to do the message, and I don't know what overcame me. I didn't even look at my notes. And I started preaching salvation, and it was so great because I had so many people. I went to the VFW for the reception, and I'm telling you, so many people sat down and started talking about their hearts with me. And one lady even talked to me for a while, and she said, "I don't know why I'm telling you all this." It's because of the love of Christ, isn't it? "For it is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." We so take that for granted. And the people are out there dying. And so I'm just asking, will you get aboard? Will you write that list? All I'm asking you to do is write down a list of 10 people you know and start praying for them. I can almost guarantee you there are going to be some people on that list that will not come. But that's beside the point. Begin to pray for them and pray for them. And I'm going to commit myself to do exactly the same thing. I am going to go to some of my neighbors. I'm going to go to some people that I work with on the outside. I'm going to go to some people that, you know, as I look through my phone, I thought, oh, wait a minute, they don't know Christ. Write down. And so I'm just asking you, will you bring them? And you don't have to wait till that day, but especially because if you talk to them, they may want to come sooner, and that's fine. They're still going to hear the gospel. But you sat through the video, some of you. And was it pretty effective? Yeah, it was very effective. And I don't know about you, but boy, I had to hold my nose one time, and I thought I was going to cry out loud. Because, man, could I relate to some of those people up there before I was a Christian? And you can too, possibly. So will you pray about it? Will you write those names down and just pray? And then we're going to march through this. And we're going to have that day on November 2nd and 3rd where we bring our friends and we sit with them and we're going to put out extra food and try to have a great time. And then we're just going to pray that some of these people come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. Father, we come tonight thanking you. What a blessed God you are. You sent your Son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us, and through that, He took on all our sin and we became righteous through him. And Lord, we don't know exactly how that works. We understand the words and we somewhat understand the concept, but the one concept we do understand is that you are going to take us home one day to be with you, and we're going to move out of this futile world. We're going to get out of all the things that are going on, and we're going to spend eternity in your home, heaven. And for that, we praise you. And Lord, we give you the